Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
We are live here at Slattery's Pub and Grill, located 5634 Greenwood Plaza Boulevard in the Denver Tech Center. Man, this is an awesome spot, munching on some food. It is so good.
So good.
So good. They open at 10:30 every NFL Sunday and are your DTC headquarters for all Broncos and Chicago Bears games. So keep that in mind here this coming here. Well, here starting in just a couple weeks, they have the NFL Sunday ticket. So enjoy every game every Sunday on one of their 23 high-def TVs. All right, looking at Pat Shurmur's career, and Richie did a great job with the research of, you know, combing through the times where he has been the play caller. Now, we did not include his time with the Philadelphia Eagles. We know Chip Kelly was calling the plays during those stops. But in the research, it's very interesting. When you look at all his stops, what they have in common when he did not have success, all right? First year with the Rams, bad offense. Rushing offense was ranked in the bottom third that year. His second year with the Rams, 26th in points. Well, rushing offense remained in the bottom third. His time with the Browns, when they were 30th in points, the rushing offense was ranked virtually dead last. The next year, he's 24th in points. It was still mid-tier to the bottom third. But then his time in Minnesota. Like, there's this one season in Minnesota in 2017 where he has success. By far the most success he's had in any single season as a play caller. Stoked to have the seventh best rushing attack in the league. Goes with the Giants. Again, not good in points. They didn't have a great running game. Even with Saquon Barkley's rookie year, they were still in the bottom third, believe it or not, in rushing, which I thought Richie made a mistake. I thought he made a mistake
in the research. Wow, you're calling Richie out. I never think Richie makes a mistake.
I went back and just to make sure that he had it right, and I'm like, wow, even with Barkley coming out of the gate, they were still bottom third as a team in the league's rushing department. And you look that last year, 28th in points, the Broncos' rushing attack was just meh. It was just middle of the road. The one season where he had tremendous success and a top-10 offense, they had the seventh-best rushing attack in the league.
Yeah, a lot of your success offensively usually depends on, you know, your running game, unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs or, you know, a team that can just air raid it out and you have a great quarterback. If you don't have a great quarterback, you better run the ball good. Right? I think that's what it says. I mean, what great quarterback has Pat Shurmur had as offensive coordinator?
Hasn't had one.
So you better run the ball well.
Right.
Does he have a great quarterback right now?
No.
No. So you better run the ball well, right? And I think they are set up to do that, though. That's what has me optimistic about the Broncos and how they're going to play football this year. They should be able to run the ball really well. I think they have an offensive line that's coming back for year two under his system. They got depth there. You know, we'll see how the right tackle plays, but it's probably going to be better than last year. And you got a couple good running backs back there to shoulder the load there. So I think when you look at the Broncos, they're set up to do that, to run the ball well, be effective on the ground, and have a good year offensively because they will run the ball well. Because you look at the quarterback position, Drew, Teddy, whatever, you don't have a great quarterback. I think we all can agree on that. So you better run it well, and I think they will.
And then the question becomes, if they are able to run the football effectively, can Teddy be enough where the offense can be multiple and not just a one-trick pony? You know, can he be competent? And that's what I think the Broncos coaching staff's looking for, is can you be confident that we can just be multiple enough that you really don't know what's coming? Chances are you're going to see a lot of run, but also you just can't. It's 2021. So you can't just, you know, be two yards in a cloud of dust every single Sunday.
No, you got to be able to make some explosive plays, and that's one of the big reasons why they chose Teddy, right? I mean, I think they have more confidence in him that he can do those things, the little things. not just go out there and throw the 80-yard bomb. Just do the little things, you know, on the third down and fives, on the first and ten, when all the play action pass and the safety stay back and there's nothing there, you don't force it there. You know what? You swing to the left and you throw it to Royce Freeman and you get 12 yards. Those are the things I'm talking about. That's why Teddy won, because he was doing those things more consistently than Drew during the preseason and training camp. Now, can he continue it during the season? That's the big question. But that is, I believe, one of the main reasons why Teddy won the job, because he can do those things and they have confidence that he can get that done.
What were your thoughts when you saw the news about an hour, I think, before we got on the air that Royce Freeman was going to be waived here?
Not surprised. You know, we had talked a lot about him. Will he make the team? Will he won't make the team? And then he made the team. It's like, okay, you know, good for Royce. But we also knew that there was going to be some roster turnover. And when Richie told me that they signed another running back, I was like, oh, goodness, how many running backs are they going to keep? Well, and once you take a step back and think about it, like, Royce Freeman's not like a good special teams player.
No.
So there's a big point of emphasis here on special teams and improving special teams. So I guarantee you the guy they brought in is probably a much better special teams player than Royce Freeman. I don't know what's his name. I don't know where he's from. Nate McCrary? I don't know. Is that him? But I guarantee you. That's him.
That's right.
I don't know where he's from. Do you know where he's from?
I do not.
What team they picked him up off of? Ravens. From the Ravens, that's right. But I guarantee he's probably a better special teams player than Royce Freeman, because I think they liked Royce. Like Vic talked about earlier, they liked Royce. He provided depth there. He provided insurance. Like, the guy was going to do it right. You know, he's going to get out there. He's going to catch the football for you. He's going to pick up the blitzes. He's going to be in the right spot so you could trust him. But they needed more special teams-wise, and I think that's why they made this move here.
Royce Freeman's career as a Denver Bronco comes to a close.
Yeah. Was he a third-rounder or a second-rounder?
He was a third-rounder.
Okay. Yeah, we had higher hopes, obviously, you know.
It's the 71st pick in the draft.
Yeah. Oh, early first.
Yep. Early third.
Yeah, early third, excuse me. We talked about him being the leading rusher at Oregon, you know, over and over again, and we were just hoping for more, man. We were just hoping for more, and it just never materialized like we had hoped.
Why didn't it?
I don't know. Because he started off well.
He did. He was like 500 yards as a rookie. Didn't fumble it. I mean, his yards per carry mark was good. And
I wish I could tell you why it didn't materialize. But it just didn't. I can't pinpoint like why. I don't know. I mean, do you have a guess?
The one question I ask, and it is a guess, it's Philip Lindsay showing up, taking the job by force, and then he never really got a big sample size of opportunity. And the longer that we got down the road with Royce, it became less and less impressive. Like, it nothing stood out.
Yeah.
Like, if I say, hey, you know, why is Royce Freeman in the National Football League? What does he do well? I don't really know that he had a skill that stood out. He looks like a million running backs in the league.
Right. Yeah. I like that. That was actually, you know, well thought out and a smart, like, answer there. I
can, actually.
Yeah, actually. I mean, it surprised me. How about that? You really surprised me. I was like, well, what is he going to tell me? He's going to tell me something ridiculous here. But I like that. That was like deep right there. That was deep. And I can go there. You know, Philip Lindsay just takes over and takes over the job, and Royce never responded. Just never responded. Didn't get the carries, you know, to kind of materialize and be that back that we hoped he could be. Good one, dude.
You know,
how about you?
You know, it's just a thought, and you.
No, I think it's a good one, though.
Yeah, and you hear Shelby Harris at the podium a few minutes ago, you know, talking about confidence, you know, and just how far it can take you as a player. Royce's first month as a Bronco, he had an undrafted hometown hero take the job. Like, the Broncos players couldn't stop talking about it. We reference back to Brandon Marshall, the linebacker, saying, well, we got our third down back. Like, this dude's making the football team. And that's how your career started, when you're the plan.
Was that Royce's first year or second year? They came in together.
Yes. So, like, in the same offseason that you're drafted.
So this is Philip Lindsay's third year, correct, or fourth year?
No, this is Phil's fourth year. This was going to be Royce's fourth year. Wow. Because I was I remember looking at the two rookie running backs after the season saying, this is as good as it gets. Neither of these guys fumbled one time. Royce was like 5 yards a carry and scored 5 touchdowns. Phil was the 1,000-yard guy that in the story that we all know. And I was like, man, this room's going to be awesome from years to come. And then now you look, just a couple years later, neither of them are here.
Yeah. Welcome to the NFL. But you're right. You know, all the buzz and talk that training camp was about Philip Lindsay. And then he just takes over and he's, you know,
he's next,
you're supposed to be the guy.
Right.
And he just took it from you. Wow.
Really, really crazy.
Yeah.
When you take a step back and look at the arc of Royce Freeman coming into an end today. All right. The Broncos have a clear position of strength that was underutilized in 2020. Will Teddy Bridgewater fix that? Details next.
Wake me up when September ends.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station,
like
104.3 The Fan.
Come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast.
Vic Fangio trying to win a game in September.
September,
that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Have a great opportunity to get off to a fast start.
Be better.
Is there any chance Vic Fangio could be relieved of his duties during the season?
Oh, there's absolutely. I don't think it's going to happen.
Me,
but is there a chance? Yeah, you better win a couple games in September. If you go 0-3, I'd show him the door. And I don't think he's going to get fired. I don't think they're going to do that. But you can't go 0-3 against this schedule to start the season. If you do, you deserve, you know, a one-way ticket out of here.
Right.
I mean, I think that's more than fair.
I'll drive him to the airport.
And I'll escort y'all.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I just don't think, you know, that's a possibility at all. But I think if Vic was sitting here, he would agree. Like, yeah, we got to win a game in September, especially.
Oh, yeah.
You know you're 0-7.
He knows.
Shelby Harris just talked about it.
Yep. George Payton talked about it on the broadcast.
That's right. That's right. So
there's no chance the Broncos go 0-3.
No chance. No chance. And if they do, then, you know, this is just not meant to be for Vic, right?
No.
It's just not meant to be.
No.
Thank you. It's time to move on.
Yep. All right. Going into the last break, I said Broncos have a clear position of strength that was underutilized in 2020. Will Teddy Bridgewater fix that? What I'm talking about here is maximizing Noah Fant and the tight end position. I thought a year ago, with the way that it all fell, I thought Noah Fant felt the lack of quarterback production as much as anyone on the team, and I'd venture to say the most of anyone on the team. So what we did is we went, and I say we, Richie did it.
So Richie, why'd you say we?
Because it was my idea.
It was just a better case, but I...
my idea, Richie executed it.
Okay.
So nice teamwork here. We went back and looked at Teddy Bridgewater's career with tight ends.
So Richie went back and looked at Teddy Bridgewater's career with tight ends.
I had the brainchild.
Right.
Richie's the producer.
Right.
And more the.
But you're saying we went back and looked.
I had the vision.
I
to
know
look
you
back.
Said that.
I had the
right.
vision.
You
to
had
look
an
back,
idea, but you
and
didn't
he
look
at the details
right.
when we looked
so
back.
So Richie went
so
back
both,
and looked at the details.
We're both looking in the same direction at
oh
the Teddy
goodness.
Bridgewater's past.
This guy just doesn't want to give you credit, Richie. Sorry, buddy.
I gave him credit for both research assignments today.
It's tough.
I couldn't imagine not doing that.
It's tough.
So we looked at Bridgewater's career with tight ends, and here we go. 2014. You're such an idiot. 2014. Now, this is total tight end receptions and touchdowns. So not just like, hey, this is what Kyle Rudolph did. This is the position
okay.
for the team, okay? 2014, 66 receptions, 697 yards from tight ends, and 4 total touchdowns.
Who is this with?
2014 with the Minnesota
okay.
Vikings. That was his first year. 2015, this is when he is a Pro Bowler, and the Vikings are 11-5. Tight ends. In totality, on the Vikings roster, 60 receptions, 619 yards, 6 touchdowns. In the 5 games in 2019 with the Saints, 22 receptions, 229 yards, 3 touchdowns. Last year with the Panthers, 26 total receptions, 197 total yards from tight ends, one touchdown.
Okay.
It's been here's what we found out when you look back. It's very lackluster at the tight end position with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback. How much can these guys, these two guys, build together where Noah Fant himself has more yards than any, you know, the highest total, 697 yards. What are the chances that Noah can get over 700 yards himself with Teddy?
He's going over that. If he stays healthy, he's over it. I think it's, you know, it's a little bit of maybe a couple things that I'm hoping it is. When you look at, you know, last year with Carolina, who was their tight ends last year? We don't even know, right? I mean, so if you don't have guys getting open, if you don't have playmakers at that position, then, you know, you're probably not going to throw the ball to him. I mean, he's looking for his wide. He had some good wide receivers there with Robbie Anderson, Samuel, and DJ Moore, I think it is. So he had some good wide receivers. So he's going to those wide receivers a little bit more. And they were probably set up to try to feed Christian McCaffrey the ball in the passing game. And, you know, Christian got hurt, so they weren't able to do that. But, And you know, the Saints one, I think he probably had Jared Cook there. And that's not a bad stat. Five games he had, you know, a couple hundred yards. So if that goes, you know, 17 games, I mean, you're looking at probably around 800 yards, maybe somewhere around there, seven something. But I think it goes to more, who is your tight end?
Right.
Right. Do you trust him? Do you like him? Will he make plays for you? If the guy's making plays for you, guess what? I'm looking more for my tight end. Right, but if you don't have a playmaker there, then you're probably not going to look towards that. You're going to look, well, I'm going to go to Jerry Jeudy. I'm going to go to this guy. I'm going to go to Curtis Samuel or Robbie Anderson. So I think that's what it has more to do with than Teddy Bridgewater just doesn't like to throw to the tight end. You know, if you are more of a conservative quarterback and, you know, you're not stretching the football down the field, well, who's one of your main weapons? Tight ends.
Right.
Especially big body tight ends.
Right.
A guy like Noah Fant. So hopefully they have that chemistry and we don't see that lack of production like we have seen from him with tight ends throughout his career. Hopefully it's just a byproduct of who he's playing with. And now that he has Noah Fant, it's like, okay, well, I mean,
there's got to be an emphasis to get him involved.
This guy's a difference maker.
Yeah.
You know, speed, size, all those things. I'm going to try to get him the football.
And to your point about the time in Carolina when he did have Jared Cook for those New Orleans.
Yeah.
He 229 yards, 22 receptions in those five games. If you prorated that, just to use our imagination,
right,
it'd be 732 yards over the course of a 16-game season, which it was at that point.
Right.
I think that we would probably take that for Noah Fant, 732 yards. That would be another step in the right direction. His first year, Fant was 562 yards. His second year, it was 673 yards. If you're up in the mid-sevens, that would be another step in the right direction. But I think that might even be on the low side.
Yeah, I think it's on the low side. I mean, my expectations for Noah this year, you know, and we say this saying he's going to play every game, is, you know, 800. That's where he should be, and I think that's a good number to be at. Third year, second year in this offense, and, you know, you got a veteran quarterback. I think 800 should be kind of right about what we're expecting Noah Fant to be this year.
And as important as the production in terms of yards, and maybe more important, is just getting in the end zone more for Noah. Three touchdowns his rookie year, three touchdowns last year. If he's healthy for all 17 games, that should be seven touchdowns.
Yep, absolutely. I'm with you on that. I think when you look at him and his look, you know, first year he's a rookie. Last year, you know, new offense, a young quarterback, a lot of struggles last year offensively. So this should be the year to take that big step,
right,
with you know, and he took a nice step with yards, but this should be the big step with for touchdowns for him. And I'm with you, six or seven touchdowns for Noah Fant this year also.
We are live at Slattery's Pub and Grill, located at 5634 Greenwood Plaza Boulevard in the Denver Tech Center. Come check this place out. Great food. We just dominated our lunch in the last two breaks. Just off the chain. I got the Chicago Italian beef with the au jus and the dip. Oh, my God. So good. Guys, consider coming here on NFL Sundays.
Right here?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. They open here at Slattery's 10:30 a.m. every NFL Sunday. They're your home for Broncos games, Bears games. They have the NFL Sunday ticket, so you can enjoy every game every Sunday on one of their 23 high-def TVs. They serve brunch every Saturday and Sunday until 2 p.m. So come eat some have incredible food, watch the NFL games. They have the ticket. They're all on. So consider coming down here this fall and really starting next week. All right. We take a quick timeout. Stoke, going to take a little bit of a right-hand turn here. Golf's biggest villain may have finally reached his breaking point. I got to bounce this story off of you coming up next.
In the middle of September, we still play out in the rain.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Reflecting now on how things could have been, it was worth it.
September is the theme today.
September 1st,
man.
How about that?
Holy moly.
What do we got? A week and a half before we get real football.
Yeah.
Well, actually, next Thursday.
It's going to be a week.
Broncos football is.
But how cool is that? A week from tomorrow, we're going to have Bucks and the Cowboys kicking off the season. That is certainly a sexy matchup. To lift off the 2021 NFL football season, and then it's just, I mean, then you got just 17 consecutive straight weekends of football.
Yeah.
And then how about this? We got the Rocky Mountain Showdown on Friday night on national TV. CU-CSU, that is in 48 hours from now. And this Saturday, you got college.
Wait, I thought CU was playing Northern Colorado.
Oh, excuse me. University of Northern Colorado, not CSU. My bad. Got to put some
respect on Eddie Mack, man.
Yeah.
Put some respect on that now.
That's
Northern
Colorado. That's going to be a fun
matchup. Yes, heck yes.
I see a big old number on that game. Eddie Mack, you know.
Big number?
Bring a lunch.
Oh.
I thought I saw like 37.
Yeah. Might not be ideal on how you want to open your career there. Last year they didn't play a game.
Right.
So this is his first one. Whatever. They're playing the big boys, obviously, in CU. So
you know what you're going
to
get.
Let's see what it looks like. But, interested to see what Eddie Mack and his team looks like there
of
at
course.
Northern Colorado. And CU, hopefully, second year with their coach there. So
Carl Durrell.
Yes.
Yep. And then I think it's the following weekend that Texas A&M is coming in here to Mile High to play CU.
That's right.
That will be a really fun matchup.
Yeah, Jimbo.
He's just got extended, I believe.
Yeah,
Why not?
Let's just keep giving Jimbo more money.
That's it, man.
I mean, goodness gracious. But he's done well there.
He
got them back to some relevancy, and they had a really good year last year. We'll see what they look like this year without Kellen Mond. But certainly, yeah, that's going to be a good one also.
I can't wait for all this stuff. You got Ohio State this weekend. You got LSU and
UCLA.
LSU and UCLA. That's going to be a fun game.
Clemson, Georgia, brother. Mark it down.
Whoa.
I mean, how about that to start the season off?
I tell you what.
You know, that's a heavyweight. Like, you obviously you don't want to lose one game, you know, to start the season. And both these teams have high aspirations. And one of them's going to walk away
0-1. Someone's
going to lose, Zach.
Yeah. All right. I can't wait for this weekend. Rockies down 5-1. Freeland got injured in the second inning.
I don't know if he made it to the second, did he? He might have. I saw one inning pitch, maybe he got pulled in the second. He only got through one.
And then the staff immediately gave up five in that inning.
Yeah, a couple guys kind of like, here, I'll give up a couple, you give up three. Good job, let's go. Nice work.
We'll be back in the dugout for the third.
Yeah, 5-0 quick. So not ideal and not how we wanted it to start.
No.
So we're probably going to take three L's.
Probably
just like
so.
The Rockies, we're going to take three L's on this series. So
we asked for it.
Should have known better.
17-50 on the road.
Should have known better. McMahon just hit a nice little.
All right,
5-2.
All right,
5-2.
All right,
there we go.
Not out of it. Can work with it.
Not out of it.
All right, your boy Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
He lost the BMW Championship on Sunday when his birdie putt on the sixth playoff hole didn't fall, giving Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, there you go. The win.
Close enough.
Tremendous final round of the PGA Tour, second of three playoff tournaments. But DeChambeau, he's had a rough go of it lately. The fans, you know what the fans are doing?
Mm.
They're saying Brooksy.
Brooksy.
They're saying Brooksy. And, of course, the rivalry with Brooks Koepka, pretty much every time he tees that thing up, he hears a little Brooksy. He's getting heckled there. Now, apparently, a particular fan yelled Brooksy at DeChambeau as he angrily made his way to the scorer's tent just moments after he missed that birdie putt. And things almost got out of control. ESPN's Kevin Van Valkenburg was on the scene following DeChambeau up the hill. And he had a report on the situation. He said, quote, halfway up the hill, something happened that made me feel like we've arrived at a miserable place in the never-ending circus that is DeChambeau. A patron waited until DeChambeau had walked by but was not out of earshot, then sneered over the rope line, great job, Brooksy. DeChambeau spun around in a rage, began briefly walking in his direction. He said, you know what? Get the F out, DeChambeau yelled. He had rage in his eyes. This is from this is the report from ESPN's Kevin Van Valkenburg. He had rage in his eyes. I'm being dead serious when I say it could have gotten ugly real fast. Maybe not malice in the palace bad, but in that moment, nothing would have surprised me. A rope line is little more than a polite suggestion when it comes to security at a golf tournament. DeChambeau had been hearing and ignoring that kind of taunt all week, but everyone has their breaking point, end quote. Now, Van Valkenburg said that DeChambeau then had the cops deal with the fan. He stormed off. What do you make of Bryce DeChambeau and just where we're at with him and golf?
Yeah, you know, he's a big storyline. You know, he hits the golf ball so far. Him and Brooks have had this rivalry going on now, and it's really heated up here in the last, I don't know, 3-4 months. And it's been cool to kind of watch it, right, and see this thing. You don't really get this in golf. Two golfers sparring publicly like this,
right,
which has been great. It's cool. You're talking about two of the best in the game. Being a golf fan, I love it. But there's a line, you know, and your fans are back now, and sometimes they become a little bit too unruly. You know, in golf, when you're hitting a shot, just quiet. And fans are crossing the line there a little bit. But, you know, hey, it's part of it. Part of it, you know, you're better off just not even showing a reaction. You show a reaction, guess what? They're going to do it more.
Right.
It's going to happen more and more and more. So you're better off not even showing a reaction. I think I saw somewhere where they're going to start. If you're yelling Brooksy at them, they're going to kick you out. Now,
so that's like a scarlet letter insult.
I think
he said Brooksy.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw. The new thing out today or yesterday was that if you start saying Brooksy at DeChambeau, you know, that's grounds for ejection.
That
you're out
hilarious.
Of here. So, look, I get it. Hey, you know, once you start this thing, and he's been involved, you know, everybody saw the one with Koepka's doing the interview, and Bryson walks behind him and says something, and Brooks rolls his eyes. And so, like, you know, you're kind of playing the part, and then all of a sudden, you know, once it becomes a little hot in the kitchen, now you're crying about it, and it's a little bit too much for you. So, but I think there is a line that some fans have crossed. But at the same time, you know, you're not doing, I don't think, yourself any favors by reacting.
Right.
If you just calm, like, if you just don't react, sooner or later, they just stop. But we'll see how it plays out, what this thing looks like. But it was good for golf. This rivalry that they had, and I think it is still good for golf.
Okay, so that was going to be my last follow-up on this topic. Like, do you think it's time that these two guys, like, bury the hatchet?
No, I don't think so. They don't need to. They don't like each other. You don't like each other. You don't have to be friends just to, you know, be friends. I just think that, you know, it's good for the game. It is. I mean, because, like, somebody, like, we're talking about it. Exactly.
We wouldn't have had a golf segment here today.
Nope. So, and you're talking about two heavyweights. You don't see this a lot, and I think the average fringe fan or somebody that doesn't watch golf is like, "Oh, cool, these two guys are getting into it. That's awesome. Let me see what's going on here." So, I think any publicity for golf is probably good publicity.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, this roster for the Denver Broncos is moving and shaking. It was not finalized yesterday, not even a little bit. We'll get caught up with Troy Rank on the latest coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
All right, we are going to check in with Troy Rank here.
Sure, he's, you know, got a lot going on today.
Well, right at the top of that list should be checking in with us.
No, he will. He will. He will.
He better.
He knows what's
he better.
The right thing to do.
He's got an obligation here. So we're effing Troy.
Yeah, we'll get him.
Yeah, we'll get him.
We saw our guy T. Kev walk in the Slattery. Shout out to, as my golf partner right there.
Yeah.
So good to have him come by and say hi and get some good food. So, look, we're rocking and rolling, man. It's 1:45. Got a lot to talk about still. And a lot of movement going on over there at UC Health.
Yeah, and we're live on location at Slattery's Pub in the Landmark here in the Tech Center. Do we have Troy Ritchie? Did I just hear you say that? Okay,
Why'd you doubt Troy?
Zach
was doubting you were going to show up, Troy.
I just didn't know his reliability rating. It might have been like Stokely's athleticism rating in Madden.
Wow.
I don't know.
Athleticism—that's my awareness, bro.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joining us courtesy of ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. A lot of moving and shaking with this roster, Troy. Fill our listeners in what they need to know.
Yeah, I mean, they made a couple of waiver claims today with running back Nate McCrary from the Ravens that they'd had their eye on during preseason, and also cornerback Mike Ford. They claimed off waivers, so that necessitated a couple of moves, and one of those moves was Royce Freeman that fans will know. He had a really good preseason. There was a time it felt like when he was drafted he'd be a bell cow back here, but never merely materialized because of an ankle injury, and then he lost the spot to Phillip Lindsay. So Royce Freeman, the expectation, at least from the Broncos side, is he will be claimed. We'll see. They couldn't trade him. They couldn't find a market for a trade, probably because teams knew they were going to release him. And Jonathan Harris, the defensive end / defensive tackle, was released. There's still two spots they could bring back, Shamar Stephan and, who's the guy I'm thinking of, Cam Fleming, if they so choose. That was what George Payton indicated yesterday. And that would be through the short-term IR of Michael Ojemudia and Mike Boone, the running back. So they should be done for right now. It would have surprised me if they still maybe added a receiver before the opener. No, but there's been a clear emphasis, Zach and Brandon, I know you guys have talked about it, on reinforcing their special teams these last 2 days with guys who played special teams. Jonas Griffith, the linebacker from San Francisco, led the Niners in special teams tackles this preseason. Ford's played special teams. McCrary, as a third running back, is a guy who could play special teams. George Payton has been very cognizant of that in these moves these last couple days.
Yeah, Troy, and is that a big upgrade over Royce Freeman? Is that why they made that move? Because it seemed like they trusted Royce to play a certain role when it comes to protection, when it comes to being a third down back, just doing a little bit of everything if they needed. And now all of a sudden you're bringing in a guy that doesn't know this offense. You don't know him. You don't know if you can trust him. Was that just strictly a special teams move by them?
Yeah, it's the same with Boone. As the third back, Boone was going to be counted on to play special teams. They wanted that third back to be a guy who plays special teams. And Freeman doesn't do it as well as certainly Mike Boone, who will be a core special teams player when he gets back and gets healthy. But it really comes down to that versatility with that position. And also, and you guys have talked about this, it really speaks to the trust they have in Javonte Williams. You know, they didn't even play him in the third game of the preseason because they said they'd seen enough. They trust him in both pass pro and the run game. Now, again, we got to see it in the regular season, but it's another vote of confidence for Javonte Williams and an indication where they look at certain spots on the roster and say, we cannot have one-dimensional players there. Could Royce Freeman play special teams? Yes. Is it his strength? Probably not. Where they look at McCrary and go, this guy, he'll be selling out on special teams. He'll be a more aggressive, decisive player. So that it all goes into that with those last 5-6 roster spots.
Troy and Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, dropping by courtesy of ROX Heating and Air. Troy, what happened with Royce Freeman? Stokely and I were having the conversation a little bit earlier in the show, just trying to diagnose why it didn't work out. I mean, they clearly loved him coming out of the draft. You don't pick a guy at 71st overall if you don't love him. He was the plan. And then it was a good rookie season, and then just kind of puttered out here.
Yeah, he had like 4 touchdowns in his first 4 games, and I think he had 5 the rest of his time here. It really, he had that ankle injury as a rookie, and Lindsay passed him. And Royce didn't really project as a backup. Even though he can catch the football, he kind of lost his way that first year, and he never really got healthy again because of the ankle injury. And then after that, you know, the running back room got crowded. It was Lindsay's role to be the starter. And then you bring in Gordon, and frankly, I wasn't sure he was going to make the team last year. So it's just, it's one of those weird things. You know this, you both, from playing college sports. I tell kids all the time, you have to be ready when the opportunity happens for you. And sometimes in sports, especially professional sports, a guy gets that chance early, and maybe he's just a tick slow or he's not explosive, and the next guy comes in, and he just Wally pitched you, for a better way of saying it. He's just a little better, and you just kind of drift into the margins. And that's really what happened with Royce. He's not unlike Devontae Booker. They're NFL players. They're just not starting backs, and those guys become vulnerable on days like this when you look to pair the roster.
Yeah, Troy, I was a little bit surprised by the Broncos only keeping five receivers, which is really just four receivers, because I really don't count Deontay Spencer as a receiver. You know, he does most of his work in the return game. And, you know, looking at Cortland Sutton and him coming back off an injury, how much is he going to play early on? So really you only have four receivers on the roster. I know they're going to plan on bringing a guy or two back on the practice squad. But did that surprise you at all? How do you think they're going to navigate those waters? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, they have Seth Williams and Tyree Cleveland likely will end up on the practice squad.
Okay.
I don't know if that's become official yet, but that was the plan. And you can pull a guy up from the practice squad twice and onto the game day roster if need be. So you'd have four moves there between the two of them. My guess is they will add another receiver on the practice squad, and there might be one that just in the next couple of weeks they just add to the active roster and keep those two on the practice squad. It was a little surprising. I thought there would be six because, you know, I thought maybe Seth Williams as a draft pick would sneak on. It just really came down to the way it's been explained to me is they need those last few spots for special teams, and Williams wasn't excelling in that area yet, and they needed to add for at a different area. You know, Andre Mintz makes it the linebacker. I didn't have him on my radar because he only played one preseason game. He got a concussion. I was like, well, I know they liked him, but I didn't think he'd done enough to make the team. But that's an example of, well, if you're going to carry him, you're going to have to cut from somewhere, and it ended up being five receivers. But to answer your question, there's going to be weeks, no doubt, they bring a receiver up from the practice squad. And I think it's going to be telling what we see from Cortland Sutton the first few weeks. Is he going to continue to progress like he did Saturday? That would ease a lot of concerns, but KJ Hamler's got to show he can be healthy with his hamstrings. So I think they're prepared to make a move and pounce if they need to, but right now they're showing real trust in the recovery of Sutton and the longer-term health of Hamler this year.
Troy, what's your thoughts on Cortland? I mean, are you expecting him to be able to go out there and play, you know, 65 snaps? Or do you think they're going to ask him to do that? Like, what should we expect to see from Cortland Sutton week one? I mean, we didn't see him in any preseason games until the last one where he played, I don't know, 15 or so snaps. And then all of a sudden, I mean, are you expecting him to see him play 60-plus snaps early in the season?
Yeah, I wasn't, based on training camp, because he was reluctant to do stuff in camp, and he did not look like himself. But the guy I saw in the game looked way more like the guy in 2019, the way he was cutting, the way he was moving. He was aggressive, but he still didn't go over the middle and get smashed. You know, he didn't get a guy chopping at his knees. There's still some hurdles he has to clear in this recovery. But I asked Vic that today, Coach Fangio, you know, will he be on a pitch count / play count? And he said, not necessarily. They're going to monitor it. He's like, hey, if we're in a bunch of three and outs, he could play all those. That's obviously not what they want. But he said if we're having, you know, 10, 11, 12 play drives, he did say he's going to likely have to come out, that would be unrealistic for him to just play 12 straight plays, given the fact that he's coming back from ACL surgery. It's not even at a year yet. So I would think if you see long drives against the Giants, they're going to have to spell him during those.
Well, in the past, he wouldn't have to worry about that, obviously. I don't know if we saw a 10 or 11 play drive from the Broncos in the last couple of years. Hopefully this year he will.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Troy, has anything, last one before we cut you loose here, has anything surprised you here over the last 48 hours?
No, I just, what I'm encouraged by, because surprisingly, this roster didn't have any really look at, like, oh my God, cuts. Like, there really weren't that this year, like Todd Davis last year. There really weren't any of those names. One thing that I'm encouraged about, and again, you guys have played, so we got to see it. If this team isn't, the entire team and coaching staff's prove it mode. But every guy we talk to, and I ask these questions frequently, is there is a real sense of urgency. And Shelby Harris said it today. You probably heard part of it on your air that, you know, we've stunk in September. He used a different word.
Yep.
And guys know it. They've talked about it. Like, enough. They're taking it personally. And in athletics, whether I've coached,
covered it, watched it. When players take ownership, good things can happen. If you have to be told as a player why this should matter and why you're doing it all the time, usually your team's terrible. But guys seem to be understanding, like, what are our excuses for not winning around here? If you trust Teddy, what are the excuses anymore? Special teams? I don't think it's going to be. And if it is, there's going to be some guys fired or replaced. It's going to be a turnstile at the end of the roster. But they've got a roster right now that has no excuse not to have a winning record. And guys, I think, finally sense that. Like, enough. Like, do we want to be part of the conversation? And when you all win, when you win, you all benefit. I think that's what I'm gathering from these players. They realize, if you want to be part of the conversation, you want to get deals, endorsements, be on ESPN, the easiest way to do that is win games. Because if you don't win games, you're in the mountain region and you get forgotten because you don't have that superstar player other than Von Miller.
All right, Troy, great stuff as always. We appreciate your time, and we will catch up with you this time next week.
Thanks, Troy.
I'm glad you guys are on remote. I know that's a big deal for you, and another sign of a sense of normalcy. So say hello to everyone out there. I think it's cool you guys are back out there.
Oh, thank you so much, Troy. Have a great day.
Well, I think when you look at you know, what Troy's talking about, you look at September and you look at trying to win, obviously the players realize that. You know, they realize that they have got to get off to a fast start. It's been talked about, right? I mean, Shelby Harris started getting talked about by Joe Ellis
at the barbecue.
Why are you looking at your phone? Goodness gracious, what is going on? I mean, it is just a free for all.
I mean, I don't know, holds barred.
Well, that's what
there's not going to be.
I mean, what are you doing? You're so rude and obnoxious here, Sal. Can you come get this guy? Seriously, I haven't been this close to about to put my hands on him, you know. I like, can you let me finish? I'm trying to be serious and put on
so
a good radio show. Holy cow, you are so rude. How does your wife put up with you?
And
I don't understand. How does your wife deal with it
when you start bending
the rules?
I'm
sorry, Ashley.
This is what happens when you start bending the rules.
I'm bending the rules,
and then the picture becomes gray and unfocused and stuff.
I'm just
like
trying
this
to
happens.
Put on a good radio show, Zach. I mean, if you really want KKF, I'll just give it to you from now on. I'm just trying to give the people, you know, something and some good information here. And you keep interrupting me. He's talking about Joe Ellis. Is that all you could come up with? Joe Ellis mentioned at the barbecue.
No.
Did he really, or did you just make that up too?
No, we're talking about the tone of like getting tired of it when Joe Ellis got up there and said, enough. He said, I'm not going to come up here year after year and start spewing optimism. He said, enough.
Yeah, but I was talking about September. And somehow, some way, you mentioned Joe Ellis.
But those conversations started at the media barbecue.
I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. I can't control him. I can't deal with him. He's, you know, just, we have gone wayward. We have gone off the tracks. This thing is uncontrollable now. It's a free-for-all is what it is now. I don't know if there's any rules or regulations to this KKFN anymore. I just really don't. I don't. But I think, you know, look, they understand it. They try to get this thing with some semblance back on track. They understand. Shelby Harris said, you know, they have sucked in September. Right? So they know. And they know the importance this year, right? Football players, you know, when they look at a schedule, they're like, okay, I mean, you kind of go through the first few weeks, you're like, okay, like, these are winnable games, too. So you realize this is where you got to make your hay,
yeah,
right? And then, you know, you don't start looking too far down the road, but you realize, like, we've struggled in September. You look at your first three games and say, all right, like, these are winnable games. We have got to make our hay now. We've got to come out of the gates and play better. We have got to win some football games in September if we want to have a chance to get this thing back going in the direction that we're used to around here.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Just me as a football fan, typically I am looking at the larger picture. I am looking at, you know, the arc of a season and what it could or couldn't be. And I am finding my own self. No joke, I am finding my own self almost approaching this season like a coach because I am so tired of coming in here talking about bad football. And, like, I remember specifically when the Broncos went 0-4, that was the – was that last season or the year before? I forget whichever year they went 0-4. I looked at my wife and said, the season's over. Like, the Broncos season's over. Like, my job just became – much more hard, and we're going to have to be real, and that means you're going to have to be negative. Given the choice between being negative and positive, I'd rather be optimistic. So, I've almost found myself like, Let's start off 1-0, almost like a damn football coach.
Right.
Like, let's try to get to 1-0, and we'll worry about, you know, the Jags week 2 in Jacksonville. But I mentioned Joe Ellis a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, you rudely mentioned Joe Ellis, and you're getting called out. Somebody's saying that's a lane violation, Zach. And you're exactly right. You got the foot in the lane too quick there.
Inquiry.
And so,
Inquiry.
You know, I get a redo there, and I'm going to take advantage of KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
By the way, last week when you were working with Chad, I didn't mean to get this off my chest.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Chad jumps in and gets the legal ID.
Yeah.
He got it wrong. I almost called in.
He got it wrong.
He said, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. You know, you guys say this is KKFN, KKFN
right.
HD1 Longmont
right.
Denver, because you're identifying
once.
Two different stations,
right.
One regular radio, one in high def. And,
yes.
and there was a challenge flag. Lucky the FCC didn't rip you guys right,
right.
off the air.
Wow. Oh, they can get in line.
Be better, Chad.
Be better. Yeah. There you go. Wow. Zach Bye throwing some haymakers.
Hey, Chad's part of the daily lineup.
Yep.
So,
hey, welcome to the club. Get ready.
Welcome to the club.
Get ready.
If there's a jab to throw, we'll throw it. But seriously, that tone today from Shelby Harris, the tone of George Payton talking about 0-7 in September on the broadcast, the tone from Vic Fangio, it really, you go back to the media barbecue and the team president who wants to be optimistic goes up there and says this.
I would like to be able to stand up in front of the group here in person and talk about a good season. I've come before you for the last several training camps, you know, spewing optimism and excited, and the numbers 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, and 5-11. Come out at the end of the year. And, you know, listen, George has done a terrific job of bringing in some new players to bolster up our team. I think Vic is going into his third year, has a handle on the team, and I'm very confident he'll do a good job and that we're in a position to win. But we got to win. You know, we just have to win. It's kind of enough already for me personally, just watching it. And I've been here for a lot of years when we had some success, and to have it carry on in the other direction for as long as it has, it's tough for everybody. You know, I just want to see us turn the corner and be successful. We've got to really do that now.
But nothing about September when you interrupted me when I was talking about September and starting fast in September.
Still speaks to the overall tone. Still speaks to the overall
yes,
tone.
Yes, definitely. That was a lane violation. Zach's crying. Yep, we got a lot of it. It was definitely a lane violation.
Look,
you overstepped the boundaries. You're playing rogue right now.
The
listeners don't like it, Zach. They don't like that type of game that you're playing, buddy. They want a fair game. They want a fair game.
Then play by the rules.
And I do play by the rules.
No,
Zach.
You don't
by the rules.
You
got to get back on track here, buddy. Don't ruin the game. Don't be a D-Mac.
Oh.
Don't be a D-Mac and ruin the game, Zach.
Hey,
okay?
How about
this?
I want to pound his ass.
Hey.
I have not said this on the air yet.
Uh-oh.
This is classic, okay? So me and D-Mac had that game with the mug going, and it went awry, okay? We had a little dust.
Slightly.
We had a little dust up. You know, I'm sure we all have stuff that we'd like to have back in life. But how about this? Yeti. Did I tell you this?
No.
Yeti.
Right.
The company based out of Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Sent a Yeti mug to the studio and had it custom made. One side of the cup says D-Mac. The other side of the cup says Zach.
How about that?
I mean, you can't make that up.
Wow. How cool is that?
And I'm tracing
where
back
is
to my
it?
Girl. Like, this is like from the company Yeti. So some representative from Yeti is based out of Denver and must
didn't,
have put an order
put
in.
A name on it or anything.
Didn't put a name on it or anything.
Well, that was nice.
Really
how
cool.
About that?
Really cool. Really cool.
You know, you know, we're talking about getting off to a fast start in September.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have to worry about that if what Mark Slayer said came to truth.
Oh, on draft night when he told us Aaron Rodgers was going to come and be a part.
Yeah. Because we'd be off to a fast start, you know, if we had Aaron Rodgers.
Be a fast start, a fast middle, and a fast end.
Day 16, it continues. Spear, Mark Slayer told us. Draft night.
So excited.
You were.
I was like beaming.
Man.
My buddies are like hitting me up like coast to coast.
Right.
Like, yo,
Peyton Manning 2.0.
Oh, man. Super Bowl. Like the playoffs? No, I'm thinking Super Bowl.
I remember.
Like, I remember you telling me, make sure you get your bets in now. Get your bets in now, because I'm telling you, the line's going to go up. It's going to go crazy.
And I think Tyler did. During a commercial break, I'm pretty sure Tyler locked in like 100-1 or 50-1. I'm like, man, we're on the ground
Thanks
floor
for that.
We're on the ground floor of this report.
We're on the ground floor of this thing, man.
Vegas doesn't know this yet.
We're getting the news straight from Mark Schlereth. First ones to know about it. Us in Broncos country. Let's get this thing in quick before the lines just drop. Right?
Hilarious.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate you, buddy. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, double play.
Too far.
Oh, safe.
Safe, yep.
5-4.
The Rockies are battling.
5-4, they're battling. They're battling.
Kyle Freeland was out of the game. We don't know if it was in the first or beginning of the second, but not ideal. And then they're just like, it's like a bullpen day. And they
looks like a bullpen day for the Rangers, too. Sorry,
oh, okay.
Go ahead.
And then they gave up 5 runs in, you know, the first 10 minutes after Kyle was walked in from a trainer. But here they are, the Road Rockies, the Fighting Rocks. Are trying to not get swept and go to...
Nice hustle down the line there by Charlie. Charlie moved well there once he got it in gear. I think that's Charlie.
Yep.
Yeah, nice job getting down the line, avoiding the double play, 5-4. They're back in it.
Yeah.
They're back in it. So
I love it.
We'll see. Yeah, look, I think the players know, obviously. Everybody knows. They got to get off to a fast start here. And the great thing about it is, you know, we don't have, you know, Tampa, you know,
Buffalo,
Kansas City, Buffalo, you know, teams like that early in the season. I mean, Giants on the road will be a tough game. I'm not overlooking the Giants.
But it's still a game you're expected to win.
You are. Vegas is telling you you should win that game.
But, as a road team, you're laying almost a field goal.
Yes. Yeah, which is a lot. You know, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know about all that. But saying that, so if they don't win that one, that's okay. But those next two, you got to get, right? I mean, that's a coin flip game. And it could go either way with the Giants. But the next two, they're going to be, you know, 6-7 point favorites probably.
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't you think something like that? I mean, I don't know what the Jets and the Jags are going to look like when the season starts, but the Jags looked awful in preseason. Jets got a young team, you know, with a young quarterback, rookie head coach, and they're trying to figure out and rebuild that football team also. So I'm expecting a 6 or 7 point spread in both of those games. Those both have to be wins. So at the bare minimum, you got to start 2-1.
And if you're not, and you got Baltimore coming in, and then you go to Pittsburgh, and then from there, you're playing a Raiders team that swept you twice last year. Oh, and then after that, you're on a short week going to maybe the best roster in football in Cleveland. I mean, it's of paramount importance. It goes without saying. If you're 1-2 for any reason, I don't care what happens, injuries, fluke, this, that, it's going to be a long haul.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long haul.
Yep. And we're getting some great responses in on this RomoLaw.com text. Do you have can you pull up your? Oh, you didn't bring your. Oh, you forgot your computer. Sorry, I'll pull it up for you, Zach.
And that's the RamosLaw.com text line. I don't know what you said.
What did I say?
RamosLaw. It's like, at least put the sponsors
close enough.
Right.
Close enough. Sorry, RamosLaw.com text line. I'd rather have Stoke do the legal ID always. Zach, your big mouth needs a rest every once in a while. I agree. Put your name on it. I'll give you
Stoke
253.
What he's talking about.
Thank you. 253 area code. Where's that?
253
area code. In the house. Appreciate you.
Let's see.
Don't
here.
Hype yourself up, Zach. It wasn't a representative.
Holy
it was
moly.
Probably some random listener who was fired up for both of you.
Where is it? 253.
Anybody? 253?
This is, I think, near Tacoma.
Washington.
I think so.
Huh. Well, appreciate it.
Yeah.
I agree. It's good listeners we got over there.
I'll tell you what. You know what? Every other show has to do this because of the FCC rules, and we're the only show that that has an issue with it.
We don't have an issue until you interrupt me and like, you know, I
challenge flag.
When
challenge flag.
When I have the floor, When I have the floor, you have to. I got the floor.
The problem is, T-Kev, he always thinks he has the floor.
Don't talk to the peanut gallery over here.
Yeah.
T-Kev's going to agree with you.
Hey, how about this? So you're part of a big a golf tournament this past weekend, and I got a picture from Dreesen because I couldn't make it. I had to bail. I get a picture.
I told him you were bailing, and you did bail. I knew it was going to happen. I got a Bearcat 2 months ago.
Joel Dreesen sends me a picture of everyone late night. Everyone's hanging out, has a cocktail, a cigar, and there's one guy up animated, talking control, and it's Brandon Stokely. And I said,
somebody's got to control the party, and let everybody know what's happening. I mean, what's wrong with that?
We're live at Slattery's Pub and Grill, located at 56.
That'd be boring. I mean, Joel can't do it.
5634 Greenwood Plaza Boulevard in the Denver Tech Center. This Sunday, if you're living in the Tech Center or anywhere near it, they open, this fall, they open at 10:30 every NFL Sunday. So they're the Broncos home. Their home is Chicago Bears. If you're a transplant or a Bears fan, they have that game. But they have all the games. They have the NFL Sunday ticket. So every single game in the league is going to be on one of their 23 high-def televisions. Great food. It's a clean place. It's large. It's spread out. You guys are going to love it. So consider Slattery's Pub and Grill here in the Landmark. All right. An under-the-radar player kept an impressive streak alive for the Broncos yesterday, and it's time we learn more about him.
I need a better segment from you next segment, too, okay? I need you to regroup.
You go take a walk. All that's coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.